Okay, hey everybody. thank you for having me. I guess I'm it today. So save your receipts. So So as I believe most of you know, but for those of you who don't, I was teaching in Dayton this past year, and I'm with a group called Teach for America. All of us teachers with Teach for America, we teach in underfunded, underserved schools. So generally, Teach for America will only place a core member there if at least 75% of the students are on free or reduced lunch. The school that I was with was called Bellhaven Pre-K through 6, where 100% of our students had free lunch, no lunch ticket system or anything. The whole area is full of families and kids that are very, very poor. So before I went to Dayton, I don't know if you guys remember, but I shared just kind of what I was going to do, and I read this passage here in Acts, which says, so this is Acts 20, 22 through 24. I read this, and now, so this is Paul in the book of Acts. He's saying, "And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." If you remember, I read it a little bit differently, kind of thinking what I was expecting to see is, "And now, behold, I am going to Dayton, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that in every classroom, disrespectful children and all kinds of crazy things await me." So, I knew that was kind of what to expect, but I was right, and it was even harder than I thought. So this past year was really, really difficult with all kinds of challenges, lots of things just going against me and Claire as we were serving there. But we don't want to focus on that right now. I mean, if you want to hear any crazy stories, you can ask me later. I have a few. It was a hard year, and long story short, I will be going to a new school next year. My contract was non-renewed, so not quite a firing, but I'm going to a new school in Cincinnati this next year, another tough school. 94% of the students are on free and reduced lunch, and it'll be a new challenge where half the kids are English language learners. They have students from 45 different countries, so that'll be a really neat new challenge. I don't want to focus on like all the struggle it was, but I want to focus on just kind of let you know that there's a lot of need in America's city schools. So a lot of times we think, you know, there's only need overseas. You know, this is America, like everything's okay, right? But there's a lot of need. So again, 100% of my students were economically disadvantaged. Some of them were actually homeless. So that's not something you think about a lot, but actually some of the students I had were homeless. I didn't know all of them that were, because they don't want to let their peers know that. They actually make fun of each other for being poor sometimes. So that was interesting. It's an interesting thing I learned. And the behavior, because of the inconsistency in kids' lives, can be nuts sometimes. But I mean, I think that like most of the consistent meals that some of my students were getting was breakfast and lunch at school. And so it makes sense that sometimes their behavior was not the best. And my school I was in, and this happens in a lot of city schools, there's a high teacher turnover rate. So I believe in the years prior, there was always like a 50 to 80% teacher turnover rate. So imagine that you've got a school of about 20 or so teachers, or we had maybe 30. That means 15 teachers each year about are not coming back or are quitting in the middle of the year. So that was true for my year too. We had 13 teachers quit in the middle of the year. This is a small school, 400 students, just pre-kindergarten through sixth grade, and 13 quit, and then they non-renewed the contracts of two more of us. And so these kids don't have any consistency. Almost every adult figure they've had in their life has left them. When it comes to teachers, parents, all kinds of adults are walking out. And so in a school like that, it's very unlikely that kids can succeed. In my classes of sixth graders, I had one girl who was almost at grade level, a sixth grade math level. But it was more likely that I had probably 20% of my students were at second or third grade level. And so right there, you've already got kids that are set up for failure. They're set up to probably not graduate high school, many of my kids. And when you don't graduate high school, it's hard to make money, and that's where people are tempted to get into all kinds of different ways of making money. So it really, it's a big mess, urban education is. And so what I want to encourage you, though, is to think about ways you can get involved, whether you're a teacher or not, because there's still some things that you can do. One easy practical way is with materials. I was really blessed with the time I came back in, I believe it was November, came back and was just, we were given all kinds of materials, and I really appreciated that. We used them, had tons of markers and crayons. We still have some, and I really appreciate that. Another thing is, I don't know if these people wanted to remain anonymous, so I won't mention who it was, but someone gave us paper throughout the year multiple times because I needed a lot of that, so I want to thank those who did anonymously for that. And then just some more action steps. If any of you are teachers, and or if you know people who are teachers, encourage them to go to some rough city schools. I mean, I know I'm telling you it was really hard. I'm not going to lie to you. It stunk. It was horrible. It was really hard at times. But it's really important, and nobody is really doing it. You actually have a lot of schools where, for a long period of time, the students will just have a long-term sub or someone who's not even licensed in the content area. So not even is it just the kids that are bad behaved that aren't learning, it's the kids that come to school every single day ready to learn, but maybe they just don't even have a teacher who knows the content. So we really need people to think about doing that. And the other thing is to volunteer. Sometimes just having an extra body in the room was super, super helpful. Someone to take a kid to the restroom, someone to take a kid to the office, anything like that. So those are ways you can do it. And there's schools around the area, I believe. Elgin schools can be kind of like this. And so just think about ways you could maybe get involved there. Two other things I want to talk about is, so that's kind of like the whole teaching experience I had. I also want to talk about our church and then also just where we live. So we found an amazing church called Target Dayton. So it's Target Dayton Ministries. It's the first one we Googled in Dayton, came right up. It's a church for the poor. Wow. P's. I guess shouldn't say any word that start with P. Okay. so it's the church for the poor and homeless in Dayton. And the first time we went, we just kind of wanted to see what it was like. Didn't really want to serve when we hadn't like seen the ministry yet. So we actually we Facebooked them, asked if we could come, but we also kind of went almost like as homeless or poor people. We walked in the doors, they put a name tag on us, and we sat through the service. And I believe that first time the choir sang as well. They actually have a choir made up of people who are mostly formerly homeless. And then we went downstairs, and they served a meal to us, and it's great because it's waiter style. So it's not like you just get in a line and get served, serve the meal. There's a waiter at every single table who serves you the meal. It's freshly prepared for you. It's an amazing place. So we saw it that first time, got plugged in, and we've been volunteering ever since. And it's just really wonderful. The pastor and his wife are very humble people who they were actually living in the church for quite a while. They just moved like a block away recently. But just all of it's meant to really show that the people who walk in those doors have a lot of value. And so like they actually count the amount of people that come in the service, then they shut the door at a certain time so that the service begins, and then they prepare the amount of food for the amount of people that just came in. And it's funny that the leftovers are never given to the people. That's like what the volunteers get sometimes, is actually the leftovers. So it's a really neat place. Again, just people are treated really well, I think, how Jesus would treat them. And they get a gospel message every single day. There's always a call to salvation before they get their meal. So a lot of people, they come for the food, and they get saved in the process, and then they never leave. It's wonderful. So many of our really good friends are either formerly homeless or currently homeless, and it's wonderful. So I don't know if any of you have not tried or gone to some sort of homeless or homeless outreach. I know there's Pacific Garden Mission. I don't know many of the details about the homeless community around here, but find a way to get plugged in, and you'll find that homeless people are more just, they're actually just people, just like you and me, who either had a rough break or made one bad choice or something like that. And so some of our best friends that we've met in Dayton are in fact, homeless people. And so I hope if you're ever in Dayton, you gotta meet them. They're great. So if you ever are in Dayton, please let us know and we'll take you there. But also look for ways that you can get plugged in as well as a church or with your family or just yourself into some sort of ministry to the poor. And I think you'll also find that a lot of scripture comes alive because Jesus talks quite a bit and lives quite a bit going and being with poor people. The last thing I'd like to share about is where we live. Something I'm passionate about is Christians going intentionally to hard places. So we live on a street with an innocent name called Lori Sue, but anytime we mention to people that that's where we were moving to, they're kind of like, "You live on Lori Sue?" is kind of more like the reaction we got from that, from teachers in our school, and they'd said, like, "Be careful, don't walk, you know, like, don't walk anywhere," kind of thing. And we even had a friend we met who's a detective, and so she was like, she's like, "Do you know that I'm here, like, all the time?" And she's a detective in the violent crimes unit, and she's like, "I'm here all the time, dealing with different things." And we're like, "All right." So, because we really believe that if Christians are going to hard places, like, something might happen, but that's okay. That's all right. I mean, there's an old phrase that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And so going to a hard place is not, it shouldn't be so out of the ordinary. And it was interesting, there were even some people who, like, in one of the churches we went to in Ohio, kind of tried to talk us out of it, or said, like, "Oh, so you're teaching in Dayton. Well, you're not going to live there. You don't have to live there, right?" It's like, "Well, no, we want to." "Oh, but you're not going to go to the west side, right?" "Well, no, if my school is in the west side, that's where we'll go." And my school is in the west side. So that's where we were. And I guess I kind of want to challenge just anybody here. I mean, and of course, like, those of you living here, you've already moved in. It makes sense that you'd stay there. But also, if you're ever moving, or also to the younger folk in here, sorry, parents, but also not sorry. Just try. Don't always just look for a place of comfort. The Lord will be with you. And if he's not, there's a greater purpose too. I mean, he is with you. If something happens to you, there's a greater purpose to it if you're moving there intentionally and something happens to you. And two things also to address this. Like, I think there's just this fear around moving to the city. So one thing I'd like to say is that it's not as bad as people make it out to be. Sometimes we were scared. There were some scary things that happened, but an average day was pretty quiet and involved the third or fourth grader across the street just coming over to our house to hang out and play Uno. So it was really actually honestly a great experience in general. And the second thing is that if you treat your neighbor well, your neighbors treat you well. So even if your neighbor might be sort of sketchy, might be a drug dealer, might be involved in gangs, if you're kind to them, they're not just out to get you for no reason. Most crime happens among people who know each other because something happened to them. So if you love your neighbors generally love you. And also, just I wanted to say, kind of to the advice we got sometimes of people telling us not to move there is, do you think Jesus would say something like that, like, "Ooh, I don't know, Michael, you don't want to move there. It's kind of dangerous." I don't really hear Jesus saying that. Usually it's more I hear Jesus saying, like, "I will be with you. I will encourage you in that hard place." And also, people were kind of confused hearing where Jesus came from. They say, "Can anything good really come out of Nazareth?" So it's not unusual. It's not unlike our God to be in a really rough place. So I want to kind of close with one little verse here. It's in Luke 17, in a passage that's kind of talking about the last days coming, encouraging us not to wait, to really go all in. And so there's a part that says, "Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it." So just in your decisions in the future, don't try to preserve your life on your own strength. Your life is just a mist anyways, and it's going to be gone like that. So live it all out. And I think that's honestly what Jesus' life to the fullest is all about, is taking risks for the gospel. And also be careful in the advice that you give to young folk and where they're giving, because you might be encouraging them while you are honestly and good-heartedly wanting to help them preserve their life. You might be encouraging them to lose it, in a sense, to lose what God could have for them. So I believe that's it. Sure. We're going to Cincinnati this next year. We're teaching at a school called the Academy of World Languages. We'll be living just under 2 miles away from it on William Howard Taft Road, kind of a long road name, but it's like right in the heart of the city, and we're excited to, we're sad to move, but excited to be in a new place too. Oh, sure. So last year I taught sixth, and this next year is fourth and fifth grade. Yep, actually, 2 fourth grade classes and 2 fifth grade classes. So that'll be nice. It'll be just an hour about with each class. Instead of this last year, I had the same group of kids for like 2.5 hours straight. Yes, yeah, there's kids from 45 different countries. And so there's like some neat posters they have on the wall that show, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I speak this language that I've never heard of, and I'm from this place I've never heard of, kind of thing. So a lot of the kids will actually, I think Cincinnati is a huge school for immigrants, and also we'll probably have a lot of kids that are either the kids of refugees or people seeking asylum, which is actually like seeking asylum means like you're a lower status than a refugee. There should be some kids there that actually are from the Republic of Congo, so Claire's hoping to volunteer some, because she could speak Lingala with them. This past year, I was really doing more like a bare bones kind of lesson plan, because I felt like I was fighting for my life to like get the lessons plans done each day. There's a really cool like game that incorporates music. It's like an interactive game that has some music in it. I haven't done enough of that though. Sure. I think, to be honest, the biggest prayer request for me would be to kind of get some like rekindled passion for it. This year was a really hard hit to like my confidence, as well as just makes you really doubt whether it's what you should be doing or not. And so at least for this next year, I mean, I'm committed to at least one more year, and I really want to go at it wholeheartedly again. So just that I'd be able to stick it through and not give up. I know a little bit of Spanish, so that's the one I'm not so worried about. But the kids are going to speak all kinds of languages, so it's not like, I know there's some schools where you have maybe a half Hispanic kids and half kids that just speak English. You know, this is going to not be so. In that case, you know, I could make everything bilingual, but this is going to be crazy where I've got maybe 13 different languages in one classroom or something like that. There's ESL classes, so most of the kids are taking, different varying levels of ESL, and hopefully I can pair kids up with others that are either from the same country or at the same level of English.
What's ESL?
English as a second language. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Brooke.
Thanks,
Ed.
Yeah, I feel like we're sending them out as a missionary, but it's a different kind of missions field, and right here in America. And so I think the challenge is, it's been great for me, because at times when I call them up, I say, you're moving where? You're doing what? And then finally when they got a taser and a light that strobes in somebody's eye, I'm thinking, well, at least they got some protection, you know, from people that may not have good intentions. But I know it's been a challenge for me to pray for them more, and for me to look out to the unfortunate around me. And so I trust that we'll all keep our eyes open, because we are spoiled in the suburbs here. Very safe area, and even though, you know, the police have to deal with some hard things, still the reality is we are very safe compared to where some of these places are. I want to just close with the 4 verses that I was going to preach at. And this will be preliminary. When I get back, I'd like to preach on this passage. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, actually are a great conclusion to what Michael has just shared. It says this: since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And just a challenge is really to keep a heavenly perspective, to keep our eyes on what he intends for us to do. Because so often our attachments become related to the things down here. So may God use this as a challenge to all of us to keep our eyes on the Lord, to keep his kingdom forth in the forefront of our minds, and to look and to love the people around us. Let's stand and close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you're doing in Michael and Claire's life. I thank you for the hard times that they have come through. They have not given up, but they're continuing to press on with determination. But Father, we know that they are weak. We are weak, and we need your strength more than ever before. And so I pray that as they go into a new area, learn to get along with new neighbors, learn to teach in a new school system, and set up shop in a new city with those who are really going through tough times, I pray that you would use them. May they be a beacon in a dark place. And God, may we all take this as a challenge to be light in our dark worlds. We desperately need your help, and we're so thankful that we go equipped with a wonderful, glorious message of good news of Jesus Christ, a Savior who wants to be their Savior too. And Lord, thank you for this time together. Encourage us, help us through this next week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.